We will start in John 21 today. So a few weeks back when I last gave a talk up here, I was talking about how I'd been thinking a lot about why the scriptures refer to us as the Lord's sheep and the various ways that that plays out with that analogy in our lives. So this has been an extension of that thought. So John 21 here, and we will pick up in verse 15. So this is a brief conversation between Jesus and Peter. So it says, "So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, he said, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?' And he said unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' And he said unto him, 'Feed my lambs.' And he says to him again the second time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' And he said unto him, 'Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.' And he said unto him, 'Feed my sheep.' And he said unto him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?' And Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, 'Lovest thou me?' And he said unto him, 'Lord, thou knowest all things, that thou knowest that I love thee.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Feed my sheep. Verily I say unto you,'" actually, we'll leave it there. I'll come back to that a bit later. So it's an interesting little back and forth here between Jesus and Peter. And Jesus obviously trying to get the point across here is that if you love me, I want you to go out and feed my sheep. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about how you feed God's sheep. Because on the surface, it might seem really simple. If you want to feed a sheep, you just stick some food in front of it and that's it. But it's a bit more complicated than that. So we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because as God's sheep, obviously keeping us fed is something that God puts a lot of effort into. But we have this kind of interesting duality in our relationship with the Lord, where we are his sheep, but we're also called in a way to act as shepherds to those around about us as well, and to help our brothers and sisters and to go about things that way. So not only do we need to kind of understand how the Lord wants to feed us, we also need a bit of an understanding about how to help feed other people. And so when it comes to feeding sheep, if you do any sort of training about how to properly feed sheep or that sort of thing, one of the first things that they say to you is, when you feed sheep, you don't feed the sheep, because sheep are ruminants. And so as a ruminant, they have this big stomach that's full of all these microbes and bacteria, and those are the things that break down whatever goes into that animal to supply it with the energy and the nutrients and the protein and all that sort of stuff that it needs to survive. So when you feed a sheep, you don't feed the sheep. You feed the bugs that live inside that sheep's rumen, and that's what you feed. And if you feed them well and you feed them correctly, then the sheep will be healthy. And as spirit-filled people, I'm sure you can get the analogy. The Lord isn't interested in feeding us as a natural human being. He wants to feed the spirit that's inside us. Because if you keep the spirit that's inside you healthy and well-fed, then the rest of you is going to do well. And so here, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll read a scripture here, verse 6, and it says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." We'll keep going. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can we know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So a great little passage here about how there's so much kind of around us and so much that the Lord has for us, but it's only through the Spirit that we can unlock the goodness in all of these things that the Lord has for us. So we have, I'm sure you've heard it in testimonies probably many, many times over the years where people say that before they were Spirit-filled, they tried to read the Bible and it just did not make any sense. It was just a bunch of random stories, particularly the Old Testament, some of them quite gruesome and, pretty full-on stories about what people did to each other in, thousands of years ago, and it really didn't mean anything. But then once you have the Holy Spirit, it unlocks all of this stuff in it, because the Spirit reveals God's plan and God's purpose and what, the spiritual food in it. And it's exactly the same as when you feed a sheep, the thing about sheep is you can feed them food that other animals just can't survive on. And the bugs inside them take this food that's all full of this, tough plant matter, and they break it down and they unlock all this good stuff in it, then the sheep can then survive and grow on. And which, if you fed that same, feed to a pig, that pig would die because it can't get the goodness out of it because it doesn't have the right bugs inside it to unlock it all. And it's exactly the same spiritually. You feed the Word of God to someone who doesn't have the Holy Spirit and it's meaningless. It doesn't work. And we see this particularly if you look at, some of the, I'd hate to say crazy, but I can't think of a different word at the moment, but crazy ideas that people come up with who take the Word of God and who aren't Spirit-filled and then try to construct a doctrine around it. You get all sorts of nonsensical, harmful ideas that come out of people because they've tried to extract spiritual things out of the food that God has got without the Spirit to actually do the job. So they just end up with this mess. But thankfully, we're in a fellowship where, the Spirit is what we rely on. We rely on the Spirit of God to understand the Word of God. And so, therefore, as God's sheep, we remain well fed. I've got to Galatians chapter 6, just a couple of books over. So we need to make sure that we keep the Spirit inside of us, topped up and well fed. And here in Galatians chapter 6, Paul, writing to the church at Galatia here, talks about the difference between feeding the flesh and feeding the Spirit. So Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, it says here, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto them, unto all men, especially unto them which are of the household of faith." And so this little passage here, one that we're very familiar with, that talks about sowing to the flesh and sowing to the Spirit. And I think a lot of people tend to think about, sowing to the flesh is, that's, going and consuming things which are unhealthy for you spiritually, going and, getting involved in drinking or drugs or, immorality, those sorts of things. And yes, that's definitely sowing to the flesh, no question. But sowing to the flesh is also, it's something that we have to do every day of our lives. We have to feed ourselves, we have to clothe ourselves, we have to look after our natural bodies, which is sowing to the flesh. It's something that we have to do. And it says here that when you sow to the flesh, we of the flesh reap corruption. And that's the thing about the things that we have to do for our natural bodies and with the flesh is that it doesn't last. The benefit is only temporary. You might have had an amazing breakfast this morning. You might have had some really nice, pancakes with maple syrup and ice cream or something, or a nice, poached eggs with bacon and sausages and a full big breakfast or whatever. And after you ate that, you would have felt really satisfied, probably felt like going back for another nap or something. But by the time we finish communion, you're probably going to be a bit peckish, because that benefit that you got from feeding yourself is corruptible. It doesn't last. And it's the same with everything. If we go out and buy a new car, it's great to feel, I imagine it is, I've never had a new car, but I imagine it's really nice to feel like, yeah, this new car, it's beautiful, it's perfect, that's great. But, you know, it's going to get, you know, hit by someone's shopping trolley in a car park. It's going to get dirty. At some point, it's going to break down and be annoying. That feeling of how good is this fades. And that's the same with everything in the flesh. And so if we only feed the flesh, that's all we get, is stuff that just corrodes and degrades and goes away and we lose. But when we feed the Spirit, the things we get from the Spirit are everlasting. You know, we people talk about, you know, helping other people and changing their lives. But the only way that you can actually change a person's life forever is to preach the gospel to them. That is the only way, because you could help somebody who is, you know, in the worst possible situation in the world naturally, you know, help them out, get them in a good place, make them healthy, make them happy. But at some point, they're going to die. That benefit has an expiry date. But when you tell someone the gospel and you see them filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no expiry date on that. They have the opportunity to live forever, and you've changed that person's life literally for eternity. And that's why we need to make so careful that we feed the Spirit. We feed those, you know, those spiritual bugs that are inside us that can make all the good things that we need in our lives. And so I find this, but it's also easy to get busy and to overlook it. And I, you know, I'd be the first person to put my hand up and say, when life gets really busy, unfortunately, I have a tendency to cut down on the amount of time I spend in prayer or reading because I'm busy and I think I need to get this other stuff. Because you've got all this work that's kind of in your face and it's, you feel that pressure from it. You need to get it done. And, you know, I think naturally we're all the same. We all feel that pressure. But, you know, at Youngies Camp, Pastor Phil gave a really great talk about how we need to make sure that we don't fit Jesus into our lives, but we fit our lives into Jesus. It's the other way around. We put the Lord first and we fit all the rest of that stuff around it. We feed the Spirit first. The Spirit will take care of the flesh if we feed the Spirit first. But if you feed the flesh is definitely not going to take care of the Spirit. It doesn't work the other way around. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. One of the other aspects of how you feed sheep is about what you feed them and the mixture of things that you feed them. So obviously, like us, sheep have requirements for different things. They need protein in their diet. They need carbohydrates in their diet. They need vitamins. They need minerals, same as we do. And so you have to make sure that you have all those things available for your sheep when you're feeding them. And that's all great. But one of the most important things that sheep need in their diet is roughage. It's fibre. It's boring stuff. It's stuff that's not yummy. It's straw. It's hay. It's dry grass. It's those sorts of things. And spiritually, we have a need for similar things as well. So 1 Peter chapter 4, we'll read a couple of scriptures here in verse 12. And it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange things happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet as any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." And there's a whole heap in that passage. But Peter's encouragement here is, don't think it's strange when you have difficulties in your life, when things are challenging, when things aren't pleasant. And if we think about this in turn context of how you feed God's sheep, roughage and fibre isn't pleasant. You know, I'm sure sheep, when I, you know, bring a bale of straw or a bale of hay into the paddock, the sheep kind of wander over and go, yeah, okay, I'll eat it. But if you come in with a trailer load of lupins, they sprint across the paddock and they want to gobble them all up because they're like lollies for them. And that's kind of the same with us in the Lord. We love miracles and we love revelation. We love provision in our lives. We love all those sorts of things because they help us grow spiritually. And they're fantastic things to have and we want more and more and more of them. But you can't just have those things in your walk in the Lord because it develops all these problems that come with it. And if you've kind of, it's, if you, this time of year, if you drive around where there's sheep in paddocks, you'll see sheep that have really dirty bums. And sometimes that's because they've got worms, but a lot of the time it's simply because the food that they're eating is too rich for them. And the thing with ruminants, and particularly at this time of year, all the grass that's out there in the paddocks is really high in protein. It's really high in energy. It's got a lot of moisture in it, and it has very little fibre in it. And so sheep love it because it's really tasty. It's like lollies. They just eat it, eat it. But it goes through them, straight through them. Because for a ruminant to get the value out of the food that it has, that food needs to sit in its rumen for a while, so those bugs, spiritually speaking, so the spirit can digest it all and break it down. And that's what you need the fibre and the roughage for, because it slows down the whole process and it holds things there so that things can be digested and things can be worked through and the goodness can be extracted out of things. The other thing that's really important in the way that sheep feed is that they need to ruminate, which is where the whole name comes from. And it's a bit gross, but what that involves in sheep is that they basically vomit some of their food back up into their mouth and then have a chew on it again. And that's what you see a sheep doing that's sitting down in the shade, just going... It's having a chew and it's ruminating that food. It's basically eating it for a second time to break it down a bit more, and then it goes back into their rumen and then the bugs get a chance to break it down and they extract all the goodness out of the food. Whereas if the sheep just have not enough fibre and just too much green grass, they can't do that and it just goes out the back end and makes a mess. And we don't want that, spiritually speaking. We want to be healthy and happy and not daggy spiritually spiritual sheep. So Philippians chapter 4. So we need to make sure that, one, we eat our fibre, we eat our roughage, spiritually speaking. So that comes in different forms. That's, as we just read, that's in the form of trials, that we accept those trials and we endure them and we overcome them. Because that's a big part of going over the Word of God. When you're going through a trial, you want to go back to the promises that are in the Scriptures and remind yourself about them and work back over those things and keep it churning in your mind. That's the same kind of process as of rumination, of getting the goodness out of those things. There's other things as well. We won't go there, but in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about enduring chastening from the Lord. You know, chastening and instruction and being told off occasionally by the Lord is another form of fibre, if you like. It's not particularly pleasant, but it's necessary. And it's important to keep us as healthy sheep. Here in Philippians chapter 4, we'll just read a few verses from verse 8. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think or ruminate on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. God has given us all of these things. He's given us all these scriptures. Some of them are a bit... At first reading, sometimes we might find them a bit difficult to understand. So have some prayer, go back over them again, bring them back up, so to speak, and have another chew on them. And that, and in time, that's how you get the goodness out of things. That's how you ruminate as a good sheep of the Lord to get the most benefit out of the food that the Lord has given us. Because the Lord puts all these things in front of us. You know, like, I think about it, when we have our lambs on our feedlot that we're wanting to fatten up to sell, I make up feed mixes for them. So we put lupins and barley and minerals and then hay through a mix all, and it grinds it all up, and then we put it in their feeders. And some of the lambs just go on and just go grab a big mouthful and get a bit of everything, and they grow really well. Some other lambs sit there with their nose in the trough, sorting through it all, and just pulling out the grains of barley and the lupins and leaving all the ground hay and particularly the minerals, which is like a dust. They leave that behind. And those don't do very well. They spend five times as much time at the feeder getting their food, but they don't grow very well because they're not getting the full ration that they're supposed to have. And we need to make sure that spiritually we don't do that. The Lord has given us miracles and blessings and all these lovely things, and he's also given us stuff that's a bit, you know, grittier, that's a bit harder to digest, that's, you know, he's given us chastening, he's given us trials. We need to take the whole lot in, because it's all there to help us grow, to help us learn about what the Lord wants for us, to help us get that benefit and to grow spiritually. So we need to make sure that we're doing that, because the Lord puts all the food in front of us, but you know, it's up to us to choose what we eat, and we need to make sure that we eat all of it, because it's all there for a reason. What's the time? 11:30. All right, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. One of the other things about feeding sheep is that there's certain feeds that, like barley, which are really good for sheep. They have lots of energy, they've got protein, but you can't just take a sheep that hasn't been eating that food and just give them a whole heap of it, particularly with barley, because the sheep will really like it and they'll eat and eat and eat. But barley has a lot of starch in it. And what happens with that is that if the bugs in the sheep's rumen hasn't adjusted to eating barley, they get a condition called acidosis, where the rumen produces all of this acid and all this gas, and basically the sheep blows up and dies because they had really good food, but they weren't used to it, and they gorged themselves, and kind of that was it. Not as dramatically, but with similar things can happen when it comes to feeding God's sheep. God has got all sorts of interesting things for us to partake of in his scriptures. But there are some things that if you just go, oh, I'm going to forget everything else, I'm just gorge myself on that, it's not healthy for you spiritually. And here, 1 Peter chapter 2, we'll just read a couple of scriptures here. Verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." So the encouragement from Peter here to the church he's writing to is always desire the sincere milk of the word, the basics, the stuff that you got fed on when you were very first born. And some great testimonies today about how, you know, when Mum and Nina were first spirit-filled, the Lord gave them all this good nutrition to get them started. And again, this is what it's like with sheep. When a lamb is first born, the ewe for the first 12 to 24 hours produces colostrum, which is a supercharged form of milk that contains all of these antibodies and all these extra things that the lamb needs to get started and to be healthy. And there's all this research being done about sheep, about how you maximise lamb survival. And the overwhelming thing that they've found is the biggest influence on getting lambs to survive is how long a newborn lamb stays with its mother at the site where it was born. the longer they stay in that one spot where they were born and just sit with their mum and feed, that above everything else improves that lamb's chances of survival. There's nothing else that really makes a difference. And so it is spiritually. And the Lord knows this. So when we first are born as new lambs in Christ, the Lord goes, here's all this really good food. Just stay here and eat it. Stay here and eat it and get all that good stuff inside you. And so that's why so many people, when they're first spirit-filled, have these amazing, you know, conversion experiences, because it's something that they come back to years and decades later, because it keeps you going. And we see it with, like with the lamb out on the farm, quite often we've got one lamb with us today that we found out in a paddock that had been separated and abandoned by his mother. But he was a day or so old, so he would have had some colostrum from his mother, and you know, he's doing fairly well. We had another lamb that came during the week. She was a tiny little thing, and she probably didn't get that feed that she needed from her mother. And you know, we still look after her in the same way, but she didn't survive. And that's almost always the case. If lambs don't get that first feed of colostrum, no matter how well you try and look after them, they just don't do any good. And so spiritually, we need to make sure that we go back to that milk of the word, those basics. And I've seen this happen more times than I'd like in the time that I've been in the Lord, particularly with things like Bible prophecy, which is really interesting stuff. And I've seen people who, early in their walk in the Lord, get into Bible prophecy and they become fixated on it. And they fixate on it at the exclusion of nearly everything else in the scriptures. And they build their walk, they build their spiritual strength on Bible prophecy. And Bible prophecy is something that's easily debated. It's, you know, there's stuff where, you know, if you look at different, you know, interpretations of historical accounts and those sorts of things, it can challenge, you know, different interpretations of Bible prophecy and those sorts of things. And in nearly every single instance where I've seen people do that, they haven't lasted in the Lord, because they've neglected the milk. They've neglected those basics of just praying and faith and being grateful that the Lord filled you with the Holy Spirit and given you the promise of eternal life. That's the milk of the word. That's the basics that keeps us strong. You know, things like Bible prophecy and, you know, Bible numerics and, you know, all those other things, great, interesting things to get into, but they can't be the foundation of our diet. They're just a bonus here or there. You know, they're at the top of the food pyramid, not the bottom. The bottom of the food pyramid is those basics of the fact that the Lord fills us with the Holy Spirit, the fact that we speak in tongues, our regular prayer and our reading and our fellowship. That's the basis. That's the bulk of our diet. And that's what we need to make sure that we do, so that we don't just, you know, like a sheep gorging itself on barley and then getting sick and possibly dying. We don't want to do that. We want to be healthy. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So that's the obvious thing. The next kind of obvious step from that is that you can't feed lambs the same thing that you feed grown sheep. You know, obviously, lambs drink milk, and as they grow, they learn to eat grass and other things. And so if you take a lamb and you just stick it in front of, you know, a whole heap of grain and hay and green grass that would be really good for an adult sheep, that lamb is just probably going to die because it can't digest it all. And so here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul speaks about this issue with the Corinthians, where they had some problems in their fellowship. And it says in verse 1, it says, "And I, brethren, I could not speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, and neither yet now are able. For you are not carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that plants anything, neither is he that waters, but God that gives the increase. And so this particular situation that was going on here with the Corinthian church was that you basically had this kind of split in the fellowship where you had a bunch of people who had been baptized by Apollos, and you had a bunch of people who had been baptized by Paul in the same fellowship. And they had formed these kind of divisions, and they were thinking they were, you know, they were the more spiritual than the other people because of who had baptized them. And Paul is trying to get across to them here. He's like saying, don't you get it? That's not relevant at all. Whoever baptized you, whoever witnessed to you, whichever fellowship you're in, it doesn't matter. That's completely carnal. And he's having a bit of a go at them here. He's saying, look, this is, you are, you know, you should be growing here and being able to then eat some better food, but I'm having to take you right back to the start to get to the basics of it's not about the flesh, it's about the spirit. And that's where, you know, obviously, and I think as a fellowship here, we're in a really good place with this, that we don't have a lot of dramas about, you know, natural issues between people, which is fantastic. I'm sure they will come up. They always do, because people are people. But people are generally, you know, they're able to move on from that basic understanding of that it's not about the flesh, it's about the spirit, and move into understanding deeper spiritual concepts and growing spiritually. And a lot of people, you know, the scriptures that talk about, you know, the milk of the word and the meat of the word, a lot of the time people get, you know, kind of worried. It's like, well, how do I know when I've moved on to the meat? How do I know if I'm still on the milk? How do I know? I've been saved for 5 years. Does that mean I'm definitely off the milk and onto the meat of the word? It's like, I think the best way I ever heard it described was that if you are coming along to the fellowship and you are dependent on being fed, you're on the milk of the word. But if you come along and you've got things to contribute to other people and you're looking to help other people and to help feed other people, then you've moved on to the meat, because that's basically the difference. A grown sheep can raise a lamb. A lamb can't raise another lamb. And as a fellowship, I think we're generally pretty good at helping to raise lambs. You know, we're helping to feed people, and that's great. And so that's where we should be looking to get to as individuals, is to move past needing to just be fed. We all still need to be fed, but we also want to help feed other people as well. We'll go back to John 21, where we started. We'll finish there. But I just wanted to... I don't have a particular scripture to back up this, but this is just an observation in terms to when it comes to feeding sheep. So when you've got a mob of sheep in a paddock, you might have a couple of hundred sheep. And if you're not familiar with sheep, you might tend to just look at them and just go, oh, they're all the same. They're just, you know, four legs and some wool, and they baa occasionally, and that's it. But that's not the way it is with sheep. Every single sheep in that paddock is different. Every single sheep has different personality. Some of them, you know, are really annoying. Some of them are really good at finding weakness in the fence and just going straight through it and then taking others with them. Some of them are just happy to sit where they are and just content and just eat and grow fat. Others are, you know, really good at raising lambs. Some of them, if they have twins, they can't count past one, so they leave one behind and just walk off and forget about it. They're all different. And one of the things with sheep when it comes to feeding them is that, like, during summer when there's not much food around, we, you know, take a trailer load of grain out and we trail feed sheep. So we, you know, drop a trail of feed along the ground. And majority of the sheep, probably 90-95% of the sheep, they're completely happy with that. They all rush over, they're all crowd in, stick their heads in and eat and clean up everything that we drop for them. But there's a percentage of sheep in every flock which can't handle that situation It's too overwhelming for them to have all those other sheep there butting heads with each other trying to get to the feed. And they're called shy feeders. And it's something that you have to manage for in your sheep. And so what we do is we'll put out a trail of feed, and the majority of them will come in and they eat all the grass. And then there'll be a few sheep that just hang off because it's too much for them. And so you go off and you drop food in other places for those sheep to get to make sure that everyone gets a good feed. And in a fellowship as God's sheep, it's the same sort of thing. Coming together as a fellowship is like in a meeting format or a combined meeting in Perth or going to camp or convention. It's fantastic for the vast majority of people. Vast majority of people love that situation. But there's a percentage of people in the fellowship who that, for whatever reason, that is not the best way for them to get fed. It's overwhelming for them. You know, those intense crowds are not the best. And so I think as a fellowship, we're quite good at accommodating for those people. We have other ways that they can get fed. We have, shows up the back there broadcasting this talk out for on TRF Talk Radio. So if there's some shy feeders, they can still get fed. We have, podcasts. We have YouTube channels. We have, the opportunity to get together in smaller groups for fellowship. And if you happen to be one of those people that is one of God's shy feeders, then take advantage of all those other opportunities to get fed as well. If those sorts of situations are not the best way for you to get fed, there's other ways to do it, and you need to take responsibility to make sure that you get those extra bits of feed in you. Because if you just hang out the back and don't get fed, then that's no good for anybody. And just an observation that I said, I don't have a scripture to back it up, but that's kind of the way it is with God's sheep, is that some of us, we're all different and we all have that thing. So back to where we started here, John 21. So we start in verse 15 with this interaction between Jesus and Simon Peter about feeding God's sheep. Now I just want to skip down to verse 18, so after Jesus has told Peter to feed my lambs and feed my sheep and feed my sheep. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walked whither thou wouldest." You just got on with doing what you wanted to do. "But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." So as you get older, you're going to need some help. You're going to need someone to come and help you. "And this he spake here, signifying by the death that he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, Follow me." And a really interesting point that Jesus makes, because he goes to this thing about feed my lambs, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed other people. And then he says, when you're young, you can pretty much get on and do everything. Spiritually speaking, when you are going to have times where you're just out there helping to feed people, you're doing other things, but there's going to come times where you need help, where you need to be fed, where you have a really difficult trial that you're going through and you're not in a position to be the shepherd with the bucket of feed. You need to be the sheep getting fed. And the encouragement that Jesus is giving Peter here is to recognize that you have to be able to adapt to do both things when you need them. And the encouragement is there for us all as individuals. One, make sure we get well fed. But also make sure that we're willing to feed others as well. And recognise when you need to be the feeder and when you need to be fed. So that, we all can help each other out. We can all grow together and we can all continue to survive to when the Lord returns. Because that's what it's all about. The Lord's not feeding us up for no purpose, just to make us fat. He wants us fed because he's coming back for us and he wants us to survive and he wants us to thrive, not just, drag ourselves across the line like that, skinny old sheep that can barely stand up. He wants us to be fat and plump and healthy and, bouncing across the line when he returns. But it's up to us to make sure that we take advantage of the feed that he's got for us. And I'll leave the scriptures there.